I'd like to discuss the issue tonight of Chadash or Yashan here, and it's to a certain extent applications here in Israel, and perhaps to a certain degree also the application you have in the States. Okay, let's begin with the basic question of what is Chadash, what is Yashan, and we begin with the pasuk in the pasuk. I don't have any. It's made. We have the pasuk in Vayikra, which talk about the issue of Chadash in basically in the parsha about Shavuos. We're talking about bringing the Omer. In between Pesach and Shavuos, talks about bringing the Omer. It says in Vayikra, Perachav Gimel, in the first source, the Bel Bnei Yisrael Matalem Ki Savol Aretz Asher Nisein Lachem. Omer El HaKohen. On the 16th of Nisan, on the second day of Pesach, we are supposed to bring the Omer, the first Omer which is cut from the grain, to the Beis Hamikdash and to offer a Korban HaOmer. Notice the pasuk says Ki Tavo'u El Haaretz. The pasuk seems to indicate, obviously, that this would seem to be a mitzvah linked to Eretz Yisrael. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, that's when they cut the grain, and that's when they bring the Korban HaOmer. A few psukim later, the Torah tells us that this idea of the Omer, v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sachlu ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad haviyachem es korban alayichem chukas lamadarosechem b'chol moshevosechem. That one is not allowed to eat any of the new grain, any of the new bread, or dry parched wheat, or other grain, till this day, until the Korban HaOmer is brought. And the Torah says, interesting, concludes, Chukat Olam Ledorotechem, for all generations, Bechol Moshevotechem. If you take the Pasuk Kipshuto, the Pasuk seems to indicate that this mitzvah is throughout, everywhere. Well, this is the question of one of the first fundamental questions I have to see. Is this true? Is the Issa of Chadash something limited to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps it would seem from the beginning of the parasha, which is Kitavo El Haaretz, or is it something which applies everywhere, even in Chutz Haaretz, as the pasuk seems to indicate, when it finishes, Bechol Moshevotechem, wherever you are living. So this is actually a Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin, and it seems to be a Machlokes Tanoim. It says here, Kol Mitzvah Shitzluya Baaretz Inar Noheges El Baaretz. It says here that we have agricultural mitzvahs. Any agricultural mitzvah, shumos, maizes, etc., okay, applies in Eretz Yisrael, whereas in agricultural kilayim, to a certain extent, we have also leket, shechapeah, possibly. Right, so, but if mitzvahs that are not agricultural do not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, Okay, it's except for, there are two exceptions. Chutz min ha'orla v'al-kilayim. We spoke about this in previous weeks, that orla applies even to chutz laretz, as well as kilayim to a certain extent. However, therefore, if you're sure that it is orla, then it applies. Rabbi Elazar omer, af ha'chadash. According to Rabbi Elazar, chadash is also an exception. That's what the Gemara concludes, that's what he means. The Gemara has a question, what did he mean? The Gemara concludes that chadash is also an exception, and Chadash also applies in Chutz Laretz. As opposed to Tanakama, who says that the only two exceptions which apply in Chutz Laretz are Orla and Kilayim, apparently Chadash, according to Tanakama, seems not to apply in Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Elazar says Chadash is also an exception, Chadash also applies in Chutz Laretz. Which would mean that you would not be allowed to, okay, we'll get to exactly what the definition of Chadash is in 1 second, but we have here seemingly a machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar whether Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz. This, in fact, the Gemara seems to indicate in source number 3. The Gemara indicates who asks, who's the machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar, who are those who argue. So the Gemara says it depends exactly on this issue of how to understand Bechol Moshevotechem. Rabbi Yishmael hi detanya, Lametcha. Shekol makom shnei ba moshav eno ela la'achar yirushav yeshiva d'Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael does not learn b'chol moshevotechem to mean everywhere where you live, even in Chutz Laretz, but rather the idea of moshav is trying to tell us that even after they crossed into Eretz Yisrael and they began the conquest of the land, the mitzvah doesn't apply yet until Moshvotechem, until the people are settled in the land. But if they're not yet settled, they're still capturing the land, it does not yet, you do not yet have the Isra of Chodesh. That's how Rabbi Yishmael learns it. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hare Shabbat, Shnemba Moshavot, it says about Shabbat, Lo Tivaru Eish, Bechol Moshavotechem, Beyom HaShabbat. And clearly, when it says Bechol Moshavotechem, that means throughout the world. Shabbat is a mitzvah, which is certainly not limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah throughout the world. So just like by Shabbat, Bechol Moshavotechem means throughout the entire world, so too, when it says about Chadash, don't eat any of the new grain until B'chol Moshvotechem, it should apply throughout the world, Ben Ba'aretz, Ben B'chutz La'aretz. So if again, seems to this Machlokes of Bishmar, Rabbi Akiva, and Machlokes Tanakama, and Rabbi Elazar, would seem to be dependent on how to understand the word Moshvotechem. Does Moshvotechem mean throughout the world, in which case Chadash would apply also outside of Eretz Yisrael? Or do we interpret Moshvotechem otherwise, for example, to understand that it means that the Chiyuv only kicks in after Am Yisrael are settled in the land, after the 14 years, it took them 7 years to conquer and another 7 years to divide, and the Torah is telling us that the Isra of Chadash only kicked in 14 years after entering Eretz Yisrael, after they were already after past the stage of Yerusha v'Yeshiva. Yerushalmi has another interpretation that perhaps would have meant that if you take flour from Chutz La'aretz and you bring it to Eretz Yisrael, that's where, even if you assume that they must be in Eretz Yisrael, but B'chol Moshvotechem would mean that if you take flour from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael, so then if you take Eretz Yisrael flour into Chutz La'aretz, then it would continue to be Aser there, and that's what we mean B'chol Moshvotechem. That is, don't think by exporting the flour, are you able to get rid of the Issa Chadash? No, B'chol Moshvotechem, wherever this flower, Israeli flower goes, it would continue to be us. Who do we paskin like? We have your seems to be Machlokes Tanakan Rabbi Elazar, but we'd say we have a Stami, right? Halacha, you have a Machlokes, you have a Tanakama, usually paskin like Tanakama. And therefore, it would seem to come out that Chadash should apply only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. However, the problem is that there's a Mishnah in Orla. There's a Mishnah in Orla, a Stam Mishnah without any machlokes, and the Mishnah Orla simply states, Hechadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Period. V'Orla Halacha V'Klai M'Divei Sofim. This Mishnah is saying that there are three, the Mishnah clearly holds like Rabbi Elazar, Stam Mishnah, no machlokes mentioned here. It simply states, Chadash applies everywhere, Min HaTorah, right, it's Mitzvah Doraisa, Yisra Doraisa, everywhere. Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz as a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. As I mentioned last week, there's a leniency here that Orla is only when you're certain that it's Orla in Chutz La'aretz, whereas in Eretz Yisrael Safik, we follow the rule of Safik Doraisa. In Chutz La'aretz, Orla is only also if you know for a fact that this is Orla, but Safik is allowed. Va'kilayim applies mi-divrei sofim, mi-darabanan, really mi-daraisa, or kilayim is only in Eretz Yisrael. Chacham expanded, at least kilei hakerem, to Chutz La'aretz as well. But the Mishnah here in Orla says black and white that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz. Based on this, most of the Rishonim, the Rif, and the Rambam, and the Rush, and the majority of other Rishonim ruled like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah that in fact the Issa of Chadash applies also in Chutz La'aretz. Take a look here at the Rambam, the source number 5. The Rambam sort of gives, we'll see what the, we'll use the Rambam just to fill in exactly what Chadash is. HaChadash Ketzad. Right. What is the mitzvah of Chadash? What's it all about? Kol echad mechamesha minei tefuah bilvad, any one of the five types of grain, asur la'achol mehachadash shelo, you're not allowed to eat from the new crop, ad kodem shikarev ha'omer b'tet zayim b'nisan, until the omer is brought on the 16th day, on the second day of Pesach. Shneimar v'lechem v'kali v'chamer lo tochlu. וכול אוכל כזית קדש כל מהקבת עומר, לוקם מן התורה בכל מקום וכל זמן, בין בארץ ובין בחוץ לארץ. The Rambam explicitly writes, Paskins here, he mentioned like a blazer, applies in Chutz La'aretz as well, בין בפני הבית, בין שלא בפני הבית. Doesn't make a difference, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Isser of Chadash continues. אלא, שבזמן שיש מקדש, מי שיקרב העומר הוא תרח חדש בירושלים. However, based on there's a slight discrepancy between the times of the Beit HaMikdash and afterwards, Because the Torah says that the Isser continues until you bring the Korban HaOmer. So that's fine when you have a Korban HaOmer. What happens when you don't have a Korban HaOmer? So that's what we have. So as we say, you're not allowed to eat the entire day. So when you have the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as they bring the Omer, if it will be at 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whenever they bring it, then you can begin using the new grain. Whereas if it's not the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't have a Korban HaOmer, so then the whole day is Asa. So that's what the Rambam continues to say over here. El Shebizman Sheish Mikdash Mishikrav HaOmer Otar Chadash B'Yerushalayim. Once you bring the Omer, once the Omer is brought in Yerushalayim, when you know that it's brought, so then you're able to eat the Chadash. V'makamot HaRachokim Mutim Achar Chatzot. And at places who are far, who don't know exactly when it's brought, they can assume by midday, right, for sure it has been brought. They don't know, but Beis Din never took that long to take care of the Omer. And therefore, Ad Achar Chatzot, Bezman She'en Beit HaMikdash Kol Yom Kula Asur Min HaTorah. But in times when there's no Beit HaMikdash, then you have to wait until the day is over, until the end of the 16th. Then you're allowed to use the new crop. Bezman Azeb Mekomot She'esim Shneim Tovim. In Chutzlarts, we have Yom Tishen Shagolios. So we have the Sefek of the Yom, everything's one more day delayed. HaChadash Asur Kol Yom Yudzayim Ben Nisan Ad Erev Midivrei Sofim. So just like we keep 2 days of Yom Tif, therefore the Yisur Chadash also gets pushed off Midrabanan one day. In any case, this is how the Rambam paskins and most of the Rishonim, that Chadash is an Isur D'Oraisa, even in Chutzlart, even Shelo Bizman HaMikdash. The Shulchan Aruch as well paskins this way, both in Orach Chaim, in Siman Tov Pei Tes, which is in between the right after Tfilas Omer, and in Yerodea, in Siman Resh Tzadik Gimel, again, see it in source number 6, Asur Le'achol Chadash Mitfuat Chameshet Haminim, עד שיקרב העומר שהוא בתזיים בניסן, שנאמר ולחם וכלי וחמר לא תאכלו עד עצם היום הזה. Okay, until the 16th day, ועידנה nowadays, דלק העומר, עשו כל יום תזיין, ובכל סתם אשר עושים בית ימים, עשו כל יום יזיין עד תחילת ליל יודכן. Okay, pretty much paraphrases the Rambam, that the issue continues until that time frame. ואני סגן הלכה בית, יסור החדש, נהג בין בארץ, בין בחוץ לארץ, בין בשל ישראל, בין בשל עובי כוכבים. Okay, here the Rambam, here the Shulchan Aruch added one more thing which I don't think the Rambam did not explicitly mention, okay? But one more possible avenue of escape. One could have differentiated perhaps that maybe there's a difference between crops grown by a Jew and crops grown by a Goy, just like Bet Shemus HaMaisis, we have such a distinction. Says the Shulchan Aruch that no, there is no difference between who grows it, that even if a crop of a Goy, the Issa of Chadash still applies. Okay, this is based on, if you take a look here on 7, okay, just one more halacha, and then we'll begin with that. Halacha Gimel, Tuva shelo hishrisha kodem letetzayim b'nisan, asura ad sheva omer haba. When we talk about Chadash, what does that mean in practical terms? Okay, this is where we get, a little bit more into the practice. This is the basic, the basics, and then we're going to begin into a little bit of the practical side. When we talk about Chadash, let's think in the classical, in the pre-watering of pre-Chutzlart era, I'm talking in the Eretz Yisrael environment, basically the rain is during the winter. Okay? You have to daven for rain. Rav Amar just sent out a call for on Thursday to have a special tefillah for rain because things started growing. We had rain at the beginning, thank God, but we haven't rain for a while and things are beginning to dry. It can be very disastrous for the crops. So on Yom Chamishi, Rav Amar called for a special day of Tanis and Tefillah for continuation of the rain. In any case, since it rains during the winter, that's when crops will grow. Okay. Now the rule of Chadash means that the plant has to have taken root before Pesach. Okay, which means anything which took root before Pesach, when Pesach comes, it will become mutter. So in the classical Israeli setting, all the 5 grains are grown as winter crops. Okay, and since they're all grown as winter crops, it basically doesn't mean to make such a big deal. You plant in Cheshvan in Kislev time. Okay, that's when you put the end of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, is usually when you plant. And it's going to take root in the winter. And it will be ready towards Pesach, some won't even have a little bit after Pesach, if you're lucky in a certain year, maybe it's a leap year, a little bit before Pesach. So we're talking about waiting maximum a couple of weeks, if anything. Right? Very often the grain won't be ready anyway. But even if the grain is possibly ready, we're talking about waiting maximum a week or two just for this crop which just finished growing. This crop which just finished growing, okay? Waiting a couple of days until Pesach comes for the Omer. However, So in Eretz Yisrael, classic Eretz Yisrael setting, it wasn't such a big deal. As I mentioned, it meant to wear masks, because that's the debate. Then crafts naturally were not ready until Pesach time. And therefore, worst case scenario, you'd wait a week or two until after Pesach, and then after Chol Hamoed, you're supposed to be doing work, some agricultural work, but after Chol Hamoed, you can go ahead and cut your wheat, or if you cut before, you can now eat it. You can eat the wheat, which is good.
So all the matzahs are made from the year before, the process?
Well, of course. All the matzahs are made from the wheat of the year before, because you have to realize first they start making it. The crops are still, they're still green. They're already baking. Right? The matzah factory is already in business. And the crops, if you look outside, the crops are, are yay high.
August,
okay. So it's not August, September, it's a little bit earlier, but it's usually in May, June, something like that. Okay? So obviously that. So all the matzah is made from right, and that's obviously because the first night, right, that's you point out correctly, at the first night of Pesach you are not allowed to use the new wheat, even if it was available, because the first night the Yitzchak Chadash is still intact. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael proper, there wasn't such a big deal. And to this day, this really isn't such a big deal of Yashin, because anything grown here almost automatically is going to be Yashin, because you're just not going to have, logistically, you're not going to have any Chadash here in Eretz Yisrael. The problem began, however, when Jews went into Golus. That's always the problem. Okay, when the Jews began to go into Golus, and suddenly they're living in places where they grow crops not only in the winter, they also grow crops in the summer. Okay? Or even if they plant in the winter, let's say in Poland or in Russia, okay, or in Canada, sometimes the planting, or it was still during the freezing cold of winter, you can plant here, you can plant in Tishrei and Cheshvan, and during the hardest parts of the winter, it continues to grow, because Baruch Hashem, we should have rain, and we also have days of sun. So even in the hard, even in the dark, the coldest, there's December, January, February, the plants are growing, and the Kainahar, the plants are getting bigger. But in places where it's really cold, nothing can grow during the winter proper. So when does things begin, when can you begin planting? Towards the end of the winter, in March, April, okay, in March, April is when you can begin planting, because already the freezing cold of December, January, February is already behind you. Okay, it's still often rain March, April, May, June, right? So therefore, in Poland, in Russia, in Canada, in the States, right, the time for planting, a lot of the time for planting, it's in some, especially the colder countries, would begin just about Pesach time. So sometimes the planting would be, depending on how far north you're going, sometimes the planting would be primarily, a little bit before Pesach, I'd say, end of February, beginning of March, okay, April, in which case it would take root before the Omer. So when the Omer would come, these plants that were planted a week or two or a couple of weeks or a month before Pesach would become mutter. So when the grain would be harvested, right, 4 months, whatever, 4 or 5 months later, it would already be mutter, since it already had taken root before Pesach. Okay, and that's basically what you have here. Let's take a look here. And that's what Tosfos points out. And the source number 7 says, Tosfos, Dinu'ed de Chadash noheg bizman hazeh. Chadash applies nowadays as well. V'lakach esh lizeher. You have to be careful. She'im adam yodea devadai. She'asorim nizru achaz man hakravat ha'omer. Dainu achar yudvav b'sinisan. She'lo yochal mehem. Why specifically barley? It seems barley was planted a little bit later than the wheat. Okay, so it says if you have a sniff, the barley was planted a little bit later. So therefore, the barley was more likely, there's a good chance that if you say Pesach was roughly March, let's say March is Pesach time, depending on the lunar and the solar calendar, but if Pesach spans March, So if something was planted after Pesach, right, the barley was planted or took root, just a couple of days, so after Pesach, then you shouldn't eat. However, says the Tosfos, misafek ein la'asor kol ha'sorim. There's no need to, you don't have to ask for the sorim misafek. Kevon derov ha'sorim nizru kol tezayim b'nisan. Okay, Tosfos says, apparently, even then, most of, again, Tosfos is living in France and Germany, right, which is not that far north, and therefore already, by February, the major cold is over, and therefore certainly to be end of February, the beginning of March, you can begin planting already. So therefore, most often, the grain would have been planted before Pesach, and therefore when Pesach comes, it's going to be matir, the new crop, and therefore you'd be allowed to eat it. That's what Tosfos says, we can rely on the majority for that. And therefore, since the majority, even the barley, the majority was planted before Pesach, it's possible to go ahead and it's possible to eat it. And that's what we saw earlier in the Shulchan Aruch. Tosfos says to Yerushalmi, it sounds like it applies even to goyish crops. The parachala, the matnitin, the katani afachadash, amalat tani chala. Chala also applies to chutzards. So why do we talk about orla kilayim and chadash? What about chala? Chala, everybody agrees, applies to chutzards as well. Well, Meshani, the Yerushalmi answers the fish in a bishel of the kochavim because it doesn't apply to a batter or a dough made by a goyim, and therefore didn't mention it. Mashma the chadash, the katan matnitin heg b'shel of the kochavim. So the fact that the Yerushalmi says the reason the Mishnah didn't mention challah is because challah doesn't apply to a dough made by a goy. Implication is that those that are mentioned in the Mishnah are like kilayim and chadash would apply even to the crops of the goy. That's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, Tosfos seems to, based on Yerushalmi, to eliminate this possibility of crops grown by goyim, that there is an issur of chadash. However, Tosfos was still nonetheless said that typically you're able to eat the barley that you're buying from the goy, or more likely to drink the beer made from the barley of the goyim, because you can rely that most of the crops were in fact planted before Pesach, and therefore it was Pesach, and therefore you didn't have Isha of Chalash. Yes?
But it's still well and good when we talk about the days before global transportation, and nowadays you've got beer in it, it's made in India, you've got beer made in China, It could have been made with wheat from any time of the year at all.
Okay. As time went on, and Jews moved more out of France and Germany into Poland and, as we said, into Russia, and things became later, where the planting was delayed, and often the planting would not be, you know, February, March, but March, April, May, okay, and therefore they reached a point where people, the planting, you could no longer rely on the rove that Tosfos mentioned. You couldn't assume that most of it, sometimes it's almost clear that it was planted later. You have further, let's say, for example, you also have, in addition to places, what they had, you know, at that point, where it was just a question of, you know, a little bit before Pesach, a little bit after Pesach, nowadays we have places where there are summer crops, bichlal. Okay, you talk about something planted in the summer, where after the winter crop is finished, and they'll cut the crop in June, and then in June, they'll start planting, or in May, they'll start planting a whole new crop, and that plant will grow in May, June, July, August, September. Okay? Comes Rosh Hashanah, and you have a crop. All right? This crop is not going to be mutter, since this clearly was planted after Pesach. It took root long after the day of the Omer. So this crop, which is now going to be ready, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah time, okay, is already harvested. And this crop now is going to have to wait many, many months, okay? It's going to have to wait months until the Omer, and therefore, as I said, you mentioned globalization, you can have stuff from the southern hemisphere. Okay, you have stuff from the southern hemisphere where the winter, right, comes out now 6 months later, right? So instead of planting it in planting Sukkot time, right, and getting ready, they'll plant just after Pesach. It will be ready about Sukkot time, and again, you're going to have a half a month. So this became a very, very big, this was a very, very difficult issue. And many of the Rishonim and many of the Achronim were looking, in a certain sense, for a way, because it was such as, again, we're talking about the wheat. We're talking about, you know, we're not talking about, you know, some luxury here. We're talking about the basic stuff. Interesting. So you think the staff of light is the bread. So I also talked about the beer. Like, how can you live without the beer? But this was a very, very integral part of life had to do with Chodesh. And therefore, the Rishonim were, in a certain sense, bent over backwards to try to find a heter for the Chodesh, even in places where Tosis's approach of just relying on the robe, or a place where you knew that it just wasn't, okay, would not apply. So take a look here in the Or HaZeruah. Says the Or HaZeruah, V'nereh be'inai. Now he first asks the question, Tema, on what basis is people not careful about Chodesh? People go and get the grain, and they're not careful to check about the Chodesh. V'nereh be'inai ani hamachaber l'fsok halacha d'chadash chutzat d'rabbanon. Says the Or HaZeruah, and again I'm trying to limit this, that even though the Mishnah in Maseches Orla clearly states Chadash Asur Min HaTorah V'chol Makom, nonetheless, the Or HaZeruah tries to push that we may not follow that Mishnah in Orla. Okay, he says, why? There's another Mishnah in Menachos. Kol Korbanot HaTzibur V'Yachid Ba'im Min Ha'aretz V'Mechutz La'aretz. When you have to bring, there are many Korban Minchas which require flour. You're allowed to bring flour from Chutz La'aretz for the Korban Mincha. Min HaChadash Min HaYashan, either type of grain. Chutz Min HaOmer U'Shti Alechem Shinam Ba'im El Min HaChadash U'Min HaAretz. The Mishnah in Maseches Menachos says that the Omer has to be brought from grain in Eretz Yisrael. He goes to explain the stance in the Gemara that this is dependent one on another. Wherever there is Yisrael Chadash, you can bring grain from there. And therefore, if the Mishnah insists that the Omer must be brought from grain of Eretz Yisrael, that means that the Omer, that the Yisrael of Chodesh is only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, that Mishnah would seem to indicate, at least on the Doraisa level, Chodesh would not apply in Chutz Laretz. Then he goes to bring other sources, and he mentions this idea that a lot of times we find when there's a machlokes. So we have here, it seems to be a machlokes between the Mishnayos, Tanakama, Rabbi Lazar. So he says that since, and the Amoran themselves also debated this, excuse me, he says, since there's no clear resolution, so he quotes a famous halacha, famous Mishnah in Maseches Edios. Where the Mishnah Edios talks about the various opinions and raises the question, if, let's say for example, the majority of Chachamim hold a certain way, why do we bother mentioning the minority opinion? Follow the majority. So why do we ever bother when we talk about Tanakama? Always when Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos, he writes Tanakama, he'll write the Stam Dea, and then he'll write the Eshom, and then he'll write another opinion. We'll have in the Shulchan Aruch, he'll quote what he considers the primary opinion, and then he'll say the Eshomim. What's the point of mentioning the other opinion? So the Mishnah Edios basically asks this question. It says, the Tanam de Perakam and Masech Edios, why do we bother mentioning the opinion of the minority when there's a majority? If anyway we're going to pass like the majority, why bother mentioning it? That if at some point to realize that there is such an opinion, it's not black on white, and therefore there may be situations that we may follow. Right now it's the minority opinion, but maybe in some later Bezdin or some other Bezdin or in some other situation, there is basis to understand that the issue is not black on white. There is another way of looking at it. There is another opinion. There is another perspective. And therefore, we record for it with other opinion as well. And sometimes it can be used. It explains Perish B'Sha'at HaTchach that if it's a time where it's of great need, then it's possible to rely on the minority opinion. And therefore, says the Rabbeinu Baruch, after bringing numerous examples of this, certainly over here, where it's not just a minority opinion, we saw there's a Tanakama in the Mishnah here, and there's this Mishnah he claims in Menachos, Hilka Kosha Ken Ha Datina La De Rabin V'Rabim Nino, after all, there's a Stam Mishnah this way, a Stam Mishnah that way, V'Kadab De'Hachi, V'Kadab De'Hachi, Stam Amorim held with Chodesh and Chotar, Stam Amorim held not so, V'Ika She'at Atchak, We can't survive if we're not going to. We don't have bacon. We need bread. We need something to eat with. Right? There's no food. There's no other food. What are we going to do? So it's very nice that perhaps the Stam Mishnah in Orla is like it says no, but we don't have much. We don't have much of a choice. We have to follow the Mari opinion. And therefore, since he holds that, you know, he doesn't go as far as to say that according to other opinions, there's no chadash at all in Chutz Laaretz, but he assumes that even according to Tanakama, arguments of Balazar, right, it's not going to be deraisa, at least knock it down to a derabanan. And once again, it was feka lo chayshinan. And since it's only derabanan, so then we have a little safi derabanan lekula, and therefore, when we're in doubt, right, Tosfos were on the road. Right, we saw that majority is not going to be chadash. The majority is going to be yosha, and therefore, if you follow the majority, you're okay. He couldn't rely on the majority, apparently, but he said, look, let it be a safek. By knocking it down to a daraisa and chutzas, to a darabanan, we at least can rely on the safek darabanan lekula. And although many poskim, the Rambam and the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch, I didn't have the Shulchan Aruch yet, but majority of Rishonim paskin that chutzas, this is daraisa, so we have to go safek daraisa lechumra. But since it's Shas HaTchak, we can rely on the other opinion. Right? He holds not the Shas, only Bishas HaTchak, he holds more basis, but certainly Bishas HaTchak, we can rely on the opinion that it's only the Rabbanan, and once it's down to the Rabbanan, we can rely on a Sefik. Just 1 second, Micha. But he concludes, Elavadat, Otam Yisraelim Shiesh Lem Sadot B'chutzot V'choshim La'achar HaPesha. But if you know, you are the farmer, and you know that you planted after Pesach, so you don't have a Sefik anymore, okay? But if you are the farmer and you planted and you know that this grain was planted after Pesach, then even he says that there's nothing more to do and it's going to remain us until Pesach. Yeah.
There's someone lives in the southern hemisphere.
Right.
What are they meant to do? Because there's no suffix. They know for sure it's the problem.
So if someone lives in the southern hemisphere, so according to this, right, what we've had until now is that they have to wait till Pesach.
I mean, they can hold their yashan, you know.
You have to. You have the grain from the year before. I mean, everything. Look, yeah. The one good thing about grain is it's not vegetables. It's not fruits that rot. You put it in the silo, and your whole cycle is going to be, you know, instead of eating the grain, if your crop is supposed to last for 12 months, instead of, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, where you'll harvest sort of in the late spring. Right, and you basically you use your grain from, let's say, from Shavuos time till Shavuos will be your natural cycle of grain. Okay, so you live in the every year that you'll replace the new. So in the southern hemisphere or elsewhere, so again you'll have to sort of allot your, again, if you are a Jewish farmer, then you can just make sure that you're keeping a supply. You're always running with a couple of months store in the silo, such as. But the problem becomes that if you're a Jewish farmer. But if you're not the Jewish farmer, you're relying on Goyish farmers. They don't do this, and the Goyish farmers will plant, and they're going to have, and hey, now it's when we're selling wheat. Okay? And now it's when we're baking the bread. Okay? You don't want to buy the bread, don't buy the bread, but there's nothing else to eat. Yeah?
Yeah, I want to remember, sure enough, that during the Cold War, it was a lot easier. It wasn't an issue in the States, at least, for Yashin HaKadosh, because the farmers in the States kept their wheat because of different things that are going on being paid for. They kept their wheat for over a year anyway.
Right.
They never once did anything. So if that's the case, that was the natural order of things, that they would keep it for over.
Right. Okay. So there was... years ago, there seemed to have been less of an issue because there seemed to have been somewhat more of a surplus. Therefore, let's also just make a cheshbon that you basically realize from Pesach for about 4 or 5 months, right, no matter where you are, you just can't have chadash. Because if you assume it takes, from the time it takes root till it's harvested and then gets hit to the market, it's going to take 5-6 months, the mamarashach, right, from Pesach, whatever was already, right, is now mutter. And whatever isn't means it hasn't started growing, right? The only time something can be us if it started growing after Pesach. So it started growing after Pesach, okay, won't hit the market until, you know, 4 or 5 months. So basically, you know, the month from Pesach until the end of the summer, basically, no matter what, cannot have any chashash that it's got to be a chadash free zone. Everything's got to be yosh, and then kasma manashach. Either it was existed before Pesach, in which case Pesach was matir, or it only came into existence after Pesach, in which case it could not have yet hit the market. What you're saying is that there was a time in the States where there was a surplus, okay, and therefore they would, Chatem Yashan Ashan V'Yashan Mechadash Tatsiu, that there was a surplus of grain in the States, and therefore they would try to, there was always a backlog of wheat, and therefore it wouldn't be such an issue. Okay, that's true. Yeah?
Is the Jewish farmer, does he have to hold on to his wheat instead of selling it, knowing that if he sells it, it could be used for...
So then you get into the issue of the slave there, if you, again, okay? But we're still, before I get to this, let's just realize, what about these Jewish people who don't have anything to eat? Alright? Because the way we left it now, alright? So we if you follow, if the majority, our Tosus was willing to let us go on the majority. The Rabbeinu Baruch, alright, and the Arzarua, let us to go willing to go on a suffix. Alright? But there are places where majority don't have, and some places it wasn't even a suffix. Alright? What are they eating? So this is the Achronim and the other Rishonim and Achronim tried to look for additional Heterim on this. The Ramah, let's go back to Ramah over here. Okay, the Ramah here in source number 6, Achagimel gives a kind of a sex feka. He tries to allow it based on a sex, which is more than just a regular safek, because he's also trying to work with the Shita, that if you assume it's a Doraisa, the safek won't help you. Okay, the Rabbeinu Baruch held it's the Rabbanan, therefore suffix will be sufficient. But if you assume that it's a Doraisa, as the Shulchan Aruch paskins, one suffix won't allow it, okay, you're going to have to get a sfek, a double sfek, to allow it, yeah.
Who was Rabbeinu Baruch?
Rabbeinu Baruch was a Rishon, yeah. Okay, one of the early Rishon. So says the Ramah here, Mikom Makom here in Halacha Gimel, he says, after Pesach, you can assume things are allowed. Right? He says, this is wheat from storage from last year. In which case, no issue of chadash. It's not the question whether it was planted before or after Pesach. This is bechlal surplus from last year. Even if it's from this year's crop, and therefore there is a possible issue of chadash when it was planted just before Pesach, planted after Pesach. Mikom makom dilma nishrusha kodim haomer. Maybe it did take root before the omer. So Ramah tries to create a sfek sfeka by saying that maybe it was a surplus, and even if it's not surplus, maybe this wheat which was planted, because again, at that time I guess it was about Pesach time, maybe it was planted before Pesach, and therefore you have a sfek sfeka. Maybe it's surplus from last year, maybe it's from this year. If you learn Hilchas Svek Sveka, it's a bit of a questionable Svek Sveka, because you basically just want to know one thing. Was this thing, was it done, but did it take root before the Omer or not? What's the difference whether it's from last year's crop or from this year's crop planted? It's just 2 or 10 months apart, but so what? Halachically, this doesn't really make much of a difference. This is all discussion, from a Svek Sveka issue. In any case, the Ramah relies it on this basis. Continues the Ramah, Uvuminei Tvua Shazim Vadai Lachar Pesach. What about stuff that you know the Svek Sveka won't apply because you know that it's planted after Pesach? Kom Mekzat Medinot, Shizim Shibol Shual, right? Barley. Oatmeal, oats. Usur Machar Pesach. Oats is typically a summer crop in the States also. Oats is typically grown in the States. Winter is grown both. But oats are typically grown in the summer. And therefore the issue of Chalish is much more relevant for oats. Ad Yesh Balachmir Achar Katsir. Therefore, there's room to be machmir, unless there's a lot of open commerce. The rov hatva ban makom achesh zim kodem haPesach. The chem is man shematochaf nimshachim achar Pesach. If the winter is very late, ubekol galiyos zim achar Pesach dvar meneskim yesh lachmir v'chush minastam. Says Rama, v'ein larot lachim makom shov shiatan v'chiatan minelo. But if almost everyone, this is what they're eating and drinking, keep quiet about it. Right? So people are not going to be able to do anything about it anyway. So don't say anything, keep it hush-hush. Don't tell people, because anyway, there's and end up eating it, and therefore mutav shishogin ayu mesidim. And that works when the things you have some basis, right? You can't just say. So Achronim continue to look for additional things. The Mishabura quotes here in Halakha, in source number 9. He quotes the Rama, who was relied based on the idea of the Svek Sveka, and says it doesn't know in Poland, doesn't really apply so much, but wheat it does, because wheat could have been before Pesach, but he says by Sorim and oats, it's just not going to work. So he says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm skipping down to the 6th, the 10th line of the Mishnah Berurah here, Umikol Makom, Mishnah Berurah himself acknowledges, Rov Ho'olam Einis Hem Klal B'Yisur Chadash. Most people are not careful about this. Most people don't check whether it is or isn't. And the Bach, right, has even a stronger lashon. It says that even the Gedolei Ola, even the Gedolei Haaretz, even the, not just the common people don't know better. Even the Gedolei Ola, tell me the Chachamim, were not, you know, did not not careful about this. V'yesh nondolei hem mitzuchut, some tribe in my tzuchut, l'fishu davar kashel yod zebehem, וכן סמכים מהדחק על מקצת הראשונים שסובים שחדש בחוץ לארץ אינה על מדיבי סופרים. Now what does he add? שגזרו משום ארץ ישראל ולא גזרו אלא במקומות הסמוכים לארץ ישראל כגון מצרים ובבל. He has an interesting idea that we find by Truma Samais, if you look in the Mishnayos, it talks about Truma Samais as also in Chutz Laretz, in the areas just around Eretz Yisrael. Mitzrayim, Edom, Moab, the areas surrounding Eretz Yisrael, with Chachamim were Metake and Truma Samais is Midrabanim. In America, there's no Truma Samais, in England, there's no Truma Samais, in France, in Germany, in Russia, there's no Truma Samais. Okay, they're only in their neighboring areas, possibly in Babel too, because the Jewish community there, but basically the areas around Eretz Yisrael, they were Metakeim, but not elsewhere. So based on the Magen Avram, other Achronim suggested that if we take this idea, we still have Bein Baruch and Or Zeruah, that Chadash and Chutzot only Drabanan, it's possible that they only applied it in areas, even if you assume it's Drabanan, then it's possible that Drabanan was only enacted in areas around Eretz Yisrael, but places far away from Eretz Yisrael, this halacha was never instituted in the first place. And that was one of the Heterim which was mentioned. Okay? Again, Mishas HaTchak, that was, became the practice. Right? But others, V'yeshulam du alehem zchut, he calls the Bach, Shesovrim Shechadash, Inor Regel B'tfuah Shel Yisrael, the Bach against Tosfot. The Bach has a long piece in which he tries to establish the opinion that it only applies to Jewish crops, it doesn't apply to Goyish crops. Avalo b'shel go'akum. And therefore, again, if it's a Jewish farm, then you're going to have an issue. Says the Mishnah, and therefore, based on this, based on these Heterim, basically, there wasn't much to do about it. It was very, very difficult to exist otherwise. And therefore, they relied on these various opinions, either if there's a possibility of a Safek, then whatever Safek, or Safek Darabanan, or Rov, or a or the possibility of the Bach that it doesn't apply to Goyim, or the possibility of the Magen Avraham it wasn't extended to areas far from Eretz Yisrael, or the Svek Sveka. Basically, they're trying to have some basis to allow it. Because there are some basis to rely upon. We have to remember we're talking about something here, in a sense it's sort of ironic, many people are careful of Chol of Yisrael, okay, even in Chotzaret where we have other Heterim, they try, right? This, in some sense, the stakes here are perhaps even more, the stakes here are greater. Because Chol of Akum, everyone agrees, is a Gezerah, is the Isser Drabana. Okay, even if you talk about, here we're talking about according to the state, according to many Rishonim, it's Isser Daraisa. On the other hand, the Shas HaTchak, right, the need, is was much greater, and that's why people relied on these opinions. Okay? And then he talks about the commerce. He has Mikha Avda'od. Da'av shekotam le'el b'shem achon de'bechitin en l'chush klal shemhem shel chadash min harov nizru b'vaday b'chodesh cheshvan. As he says, it's wheat was typically not a problem. Kayom shederach levi al derach mesilat ha'barzel. Mesilat ha'barzel. Mesilat HaBarzel? Train tracks. Okay, alright. You thought that was the train, the train tracks. Kema chitim mekomot harachokim, biyadua shebifnim rusya nimsa harbeh mekomot, shezu achitim bekayit, umatsui sham chadash kemat yoter min hayashan. Miyadu shebal kemach misham, tzarich yizeh bezeh matachov, shaz kvar nasan kemach mitzvah chadasha. Alright, so it says the poskim all point out that in a certain sense there is really the there's a lot of basis to investigate to be careful about the issur of chadash. However, throughout the centuries, it's not something new. This already goes back 700-800 years. The common practice throughout all of it, all of Jewry, and not just amongst Dolom as well, for 700-800 years, for one reason or another, the practice was not to rely that they were able to eat the bread and the beer and whatever else it was. Basically, there wasn't much of a choice, and therefore, that was the common practice, and that was what was accepted throughout all the generations. And therefore, basically, that was sort of the accepted psak. In America, about 35 years ago, it began to a little bit of awareness of Chadash began taking root. I should also mention, in Eretz Yisrael, of course, all this doesn't apply. Eretz Yisrael never had such an issue with this, because in Eretz Yisrael, you never had anything, you never had grain, at least native grain. Stuff from Eretz Yisrael, Israel never encountered grain that was not, again, maybe you had a week or two or something, you know, at the worst case scenario, you know, a week, 2 weeks, this, if you managed to cut just before Pesach, but you never really had a serious issue of Chadash in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of these Heterim never really took root, because as we saw, these are mostly Heterim that were created in the course of Sha'at HaTchah, and therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, this never was needed. These Heterim were never, so the community here never got entrenched, and the Rabbanut as well is machpid, even for Kashrut Regila, it's also machpid, and the Rabbanut were not given ishur for anything, any import, unless it is made out of grain, which is yasha. Okay? So therefore in Israel, typically, you do not usually encounter, right, at least on a commercial level, you don't typically encounter Chadash, because if it's something here, it's going to be Chadash, it's going to be Yashin anyway, and if it's imported, the Rabbanut HaRashit is in principle on top of this, that then, let's say for example, and therefore the cereals that are imported from the States are basically imported a year behind. Okay? So that's why, and that's why if you should know that on the packing date for Cheerios, in the States, it's 1 year, the stuff is imported to Israel, they print 2 years. Okay, so the packing date they give the last date of purchase is given an extra year for the stuff which is being imported here, because it's got to sit in storage for next year to get here. Where is the problem? The issue is the private importers. Okay, a lot of times people come visiting, and they bring with them right, stuff that they purchased in Chutz Laaretz, which may or may not be Yashan. This gets into a broader issue that's here in Eretz Yisrael, basically, the whole year pretty much, everyone here is, one of the advantages of living in Eretz Yisrael is that you're able to properly observe the issue of Chadash. That you have Yashan, everything you eat, basically all the bread, everything is all Yashan. The question that becomes, what happens if either you go to Chutz Laaretz or you have people from Chutz Laaretz who do bring you stuff which is Chadash? So here, this is a question of to what extent can we rely on these other opinions. So in Chutz Laaretz, it was relied upon because it was much more necessary. Now it's a little bit less so because there's much more of awareness of Chadash and Chutz Laaretz. But in any case, still the bulk and majority of stuff is still being produced regular, and so we have all the various heterim. In Eretz Yisrael, though, certainly a person should try to avoid this, because here there's no need to do so. If a person is going back and forth, and therefore he's still then he can continue to follow what he's done before, and therefore I also suggest people who are coming here, okay, that they should accept upon themselves that So now going to avoid eating things that are not yashim, to say it with a bli neder, so it shouldn't be taken as a neder. You don't want to, in addition to the issue, the concern of yashim, you also have an issue of neder. So a person who coming here will be more makbid should say that he's who try to be makbid bli neder. People going back and forth, I guess they need to rely again. They can also, you don't have to, you don't have to say, well, just because when I'm in the States for 2 weeks, I'm going to eat the local bread. So when I come here, I can, you know, eat everything as well. There's certainly room to say when I'm there, you know, when I'm Rome, you know, okay, when a chutz starts, and with most of the kosher agencies will allow grain that is not, again, if we know for Scottish, I don't know if they're going to have, but stuff which is general that may or may not be, then most kosher agencies will allow it without checking whether it's chadash or not. A person is there and says, oh, there certainly is room with tima. If you have people bringing to you and they're going to be insulted that you're not there to eat it, this gets into a general issue of, we discussed earlier, if people, each person tries to keep a higher standard and is in a situation where either he is visiting other people or other people are visiting him, they'll be insulted, people won't bring it. You know, okay, so then we still, there is what to rely upon. There is, interestingly, there's a person, there's a whole Yashin guide for those who want to. What's also interesting, you should just know, is that the wheat, so you shouldn't get into as much, it's more relevant for the States, that there are different kinds, the summer wheat and the winter wheat are different, right, in terms of how much percentage of high gluten, low gluten, medium gluten. Therefore, it depends also what type of product you're trying to make. Apparently, the winter wheat is more crumbly. Okay, it's lower gluten, and therefore, let's say for crumbly stuff like cookies and matzahs and pretzels and stuff like that, typically they use winter wheat anyway because the baking is better. Whereas stuff which is chewy, if you want to have chewy doughy, okay, there's more of a leaning towards the summer wheat. As I mentioned, oats is somewhat more of an issue in terms of that. And again, a person is there and was going to rely on the policy of the OU and most other kosher agencies, or in England, I'm sure also, and to rely on the very shitas that for centuries have been relied upon. Okay, then certainly a person can do so. But here in Israel, as I mentioned here, you usually don't have much of an issue. I just mentioned here that on the back of the page, I just took from that guide. There's another issue which deals with in terms of basically gives you a list of who's now that you see some certifications with Yashin, what is, what isn't. That's what he mentions here very briefly on the second page. He mentions here that anything packaged in Israel with a reliable hashgacha always be Yashin, because any hashgacha here, even the Rabbanut as well. Every hashgach here takes into account the issue of yashan. Other hashgachas, to talk anything on the badat, even if it's an outside of Israel, but of the badat for Vestheim of Manchester, kadash in London, is always going to be yashan. They won't allow chadash at all. In any case, whether it says or doesn't say, most of the others will only be yashan if indicated as such. And that will include the OU, the star K, the OK. What do you have here? And the various Vadarabonim. Okay. Some of this issue about malt, you can see in the bottom there are different sheets about malt, which again, I'm not going to get into it in detail here because it's more relevant for chutzlars. But that's the question, different opinions about malt. Three opinions about malt, whether malt is, depending on what it's used for. Some are careful about malt, some depend on what it's used for. You can take a look at that on your own. Okay, so this is basically the issue in terms of Yashan. As I said, for centuries, the practice of Chutzlars was to rely on the lenient opinions. There is somewhat more of a growing awareness nowadays. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we don't typically encounter it, and therefore, for daily life in Israel, there really is no need to it. And that's why, in fact, the Rabbanut certainly requires that everything be Yashan. Everything here is checked for that. For people, when you have people bringing or people going to Chutz La'aretz, okay, so they can continue to rely on Chutz La'aretz on that. And as far as bringing stuff here, a person should make a cheshbon that is it really, you know, how necessary is it to bring back with them know, they could have still done, I don't know, they, you know, how desperate it is to bring back those cookies from Chutzlaretz, which
may not. What? Bring the meat instead, huh?
Okay, okay. Alright. So that's again, if something is brought here, okay, if something is brought here, a person has not accepted upon himself as a, you know, as a full-fledged Kabbalah, not to eat it, then it's possible to eat it. Yeah. Right. Okay. So of course, if you have to look in the guide there, there are, as I said, first of all, half a year, there's no problem anyway. So if you want to bring your Cheerios, the best time is to bring right now. No, not now, I'm sorry, we're after Pesach. Okay. After Pesach, now's not such a good time because now we're getting closer. As it gets closer, it's more and more likely to be. But the best time you want to have Cheerios, you want to import Cheerios, right? Best time is after Pesach. Then you can have, after Pesach, until the summer, then you can eat your Cheerios with a complete peace of mind on the issue of Chodesh. For those 4 or 5 months, is no problem at all. Even after that, there is possible to look on that. If anyone wants, I can give the information of the Chodesh guide. You can get a copy, or I can forward it to you. I've got a copy. And they give you certain packing days to show you right after that. For Cheerios, I think it's September 22nd, which is... okay, well, it's already a while past, but some of the older stores may still have. But again, it doesn't mean
the
after
the
net.
Anything
sold.
That was also under Rabbanut.
Anything
right?
Which has Yishur Rabbanut is checked for, right. It's going to be from before.
It's a year older.
What? It's a year older. Okay. Okay. So, okay. So, again, so this is a. Okay. This is a.
What's next?
Next week, I forgot. Well, Shvi'a, just want to tell me, 2 seconds. We just, as far as Shvi'a, just want to wrap up. Basically, Shvi'a is over, but we still have some wine of Kudush Shvi'a. Basically, wine of Kudush Shvi'a, you have to make sure to drink, not to waste. And if you're making a bris milah, right, don't leave over half a cup or spill out or use it to, you know, don't give the mohel wine, which is Kudush Shvi'a wine. Okay, you can use it for the bracha, but not for the mohel. Okay, if they have dala, if a person has shvi'as wine, then they shouldn't spill over as we typically do on Matzah Shabbos. You shouldn't spill over the wine. You shouldn't douse the candle out. You should be careful to eat it. Fruits and vegetables. We have a little bit of cans which are still from Hatim Mechira. Okay, a person calling Hatim Mechira can do so. I would mention that there is a certain preference as far as fruits. There's less of an issue of Hatim Mechira than on vegetables. Because vegetables, if you don't have a hetemachira, it could be sfichim, which is asr, to eat, according to those who are vehemently against a hetemachira, we'll call it sfichim, which is asr, to eat. Whereas fruits, the fruit are not going to be asr, but it's more of an issue of selling it. But on the consumer level, fruits, there really is not, there's less, the fruits won't be asr. Even if you don't have a hetemachira, the fruits are not asr to eat. It's just you're not allowed to have commerce with them, but the fruits are not asr to eat. Whereas the vegetables can be, if you're vehemently against it, if you assume that, we used to assume that it has some basis for it, but we assume that it is basis, but it's, in a certain sense, there's less of an issue by fruits. So again, by vegetables at this point, I don't know what they need to specifically buy hetemachir vegetables at this point. You can get fresh vegetables. So again, if a person has it, but certainly you can, other stuff is available. Fruit juice, which is a little bit less of an issue. Okay.